Okay, we're on the air. And this is Vance Stevens in Aline, UAE. This is a Learning Together session for Sunday, November the 2nd. We have with us Kim Sabria.
Oh, could we turn that off? Sorry.
Yeah, I get muted or something. Sorry. Okay, well, I have a technician here in our house with me who's trying to repair the television set. So, I think you can do it without sound. Anyhow, we're with Kim Sabria, who from Barcelona, but now he's in San Francisco, where they're changing the clocks on him, and he's really messing up his life. And we're going to talk about Edpuzzle, a really interesting program that Kim has created. And, well, he's going to tell us all about it. Benjamin is already asking very deep questions about how to reconfigure it. So let's continue with the discussion. But what were you asking, Ben? It was a long ask, but
maybe we can start. Kim wants to start, maybe just introducing what it is, and then maybe we can go into different questions about it, if that's all right with everyone.
Yeah, let me introduce the people here. There's Ben from Benjamin Stewart from Aguascalientes, Mexico. Danny, the flowers. She's from Aline, UAE. Or you can introduce yourselves. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Tell us who you are. Why are you here?
Right. So my name is Daniela. Everybody calls me Danny. I'm from Portugal. And I'm now teaching English at the same school where you are. And I'm really, really interested in Edpuzzle because Edpuzzle would allow us, because we use iPads, we are on mobile learning in the school where we teach, you and I, Vince. Edpuzzle would be very, very useful because I could just prepare some videos and students would access the videos and just do activities on their own, especially listening activities. So I think Edpuzzle is really, really nice for that. And also for you know, testing comprehension of texts or listening. So I think it's going to be very useful. I have a couple of questions. I'm just going to wait for the other people to introduce themselves, and then I'll go ahead.
Okay, I guess Elizabeth is next.
I was listening, although I was somewhere else. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. Then Anne is my surname. I am in Grenoble. I have been teaching scientists all of my life, so we're always very, very interested in adapting, in providing them with extra online things. That's why I'm very interested in what you're doing. Because we never find ready-made things which adapt to our students. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maha has just popped up. She's from Malaysia. Hi, Maha. Oh, from Egypt. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, from Egypt. Just returned to settle in Egypt recently from... after about, 20-something years in the Gulf, between Oman and UAE. I'm originally a corporate trainer, but very much interested in education in general, language learning in particular, especially online and more specifically virtual worlds.
Okay, excellent. And Maha is a frequent contributor to our conversations. We've seen her almost weekly these days. And Rita, another very frequent and long time contributor, Rita Zeinsteyer from Argentina, Rosario. Hi, Rita.
Hello, once and hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here again. And I'm very much interested in adopting new tools to integrate into language learning here in Argentina, where the primary language is Spanish. So there are lots of EFL teachers ready to integrate new tools into their classes. I'm thus interested in learning something else about Edpuzzle, a tool which I have learned is might be very, very valuable for us teachers. Thank you, Vance, for your invitation.
Okay, and last but not least, Robert Walkman, who's in Mindanao at the moment. Hi, Robert.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Just fine.
Okay. Yes, originally from California and been here in the Philippines for a little over a year now and just finished teaching my first graduate level course in TESOL, Teaching English as a Second Language, in which I used actually quite a bit of YouTube video material, things that I had found on second language acquisition and demonstrations of various teaching methods. And so it's very interesting to me to learn how to do some things with videos, YouTube or any kind of video. I know how to clip a little bit from a video that I've made myself, but I don't know how to do it for ones that I get from elsewhere or put in the quizzes and all the other things that Edpuzzle can do. So I'm eager to hear more about it.
Just in time. And now over to Kim. Tell us how you can help Robert with his what he's trying to do and answer Benjamin's question.
I really like that we have people from everywhere. Actually, my family is from Argentina, so I have some connections with some of the people here, with Rita, for example. I'm from Barcelona. I moved here to California to start Edpuzzle a year ago. And I have to say that at the beginning you said that I made this tool. Actually, we are four co-founders, and three of them are amazing developers. And thanks to them, Edpuzzle is possible. Otherwise, it would be just an idea. I think we have David. I think it would be better if you introduce yourself later. I'm just trying to give an idea of how we started Edpuzzle and a short, a brief introduction to it. And then I will jump to questions. I think it will be more useful for everyone. So basically, I was saying that my three co-founders and I, we started Edpuzzle a year ago here in California. And it was basically a tool to help me in the classroom. I was using videos in my class. I was a math teacher. And as Robert was saying, I was experimenting with videos on YouTube, trying to use Khan Academy, trying to use LearnZillion, trying to use other videos, that fantastic content that you can find on YouTube. But I realized that there were two main problems. First, when you use videos from YouTube or from any kind of source, from another teacher, let's say, they are almost perfect. They're almost right. You could almost use them. I say almost because there is always a few things that you want to change to make them perfect for your teaching approach. and that's the first problem, and that's why many teachers reinvent the wheel. That's why, for example, Robert is trying to start to use iMovie or different softwares to reinvent the wheel and create new videos from scratch. And that's exactly what I did too. So I spend my weekends creating videos. So that's the first problem, that the videos on YouTube are almost perfect, and the only solution right now is to reinvent the wheel, which is not efficient at all. The second problem I see is, and if you have used videos in the classroom, I'm sure that you completely understand this, is that there is no accountability of the students. When you give a video to your students, it's like a black box. You don't know what's happening there. You don't know if they're watching the video, if they understand the lesson. You don't know if they are learning through videos. You don't know if that's exactly what they need. And all the analytics you have from YouTube is just how many views do you have. So basically my analytics when I was using videos in my class was, okay, I have 34 views, but I have 35 students, so I have to find who didn't watch the video in my class.
Good luck.
Yeah, so that's exactly the two main problems, that you have to reinvent the wheel, which not all teachers are ready for, and that you there is no accountability. And we created Puzzle, that basically is a tool that helps teachers make any video their lesson. That's our logo. And we do it in a very, very simple way. We try to keep it very, very simple. There are four different editing tools. The first one is that you can trim any video and take only the piece that you need. Second, you can record your voice all over your video. So that's very useful for foreign teachers that want to translate the whole video, or you were talking about listening comprehension and learning a language. I think it's key to use your voice to explain a lesson, because the students will hear a familiar voice, which will be more effective. And obviously for to teach a language, it's always interesting if the students can listen to the teacher's voice. The third tool is the audio note. The difference with the overlay is that the audio note is a tool that helps you to embed audio comments during the video. So, for example, you're hearing a TED Talk, and at some point you want to say something to your students, you can stop the video and add an audio note. This is also very helpful to make warm introductions or just clarifications at some point. Finally, and the most used tool in our platform is the questions. You can embed questions also at any point of the video. There are three kinds of questions that you can embed. There is the open-ended question, which enables students to add an open-ended response. This is amazing. I have seen many teachers use it in different ways. So from science teachers asking, what do you think is going to happen when they are showing a video about an experiment, which is very interesting. From math teachers using it to check the understanding and giving formative assessment, or language teachers asking for listening comprehension at some point, or adding like text questions where the students have to write an essay, for example. And the second kind of question is a multiple choice question, which sometimes it's the easy solution because we automatically grade those questions. And there is endless possibilities. You can add true, false questions. You can add multiple choice questions. You can add whatever you need. And in the future, we'll improve also and add poll questions so that you can have an idea of what answer the whole class is more interested in. And finally, you can add comments. And the comment is just some text that you want to add for your students, or perhaps a link or an idea at some point. And that's basically the four editing tools that you have. Trim the video, record your voice all over the video, or in different points, and finally the embedding questions. Once you have the perfect video, you can assign that video to a class. That was what Benjamin was asking. You can assign that video to a class in order to get the analytics. And those analytics, we try to keep them very, very, very simple so that you can have insights on how to approach the next class. And They are color graded. It's like in 10 seconds, you know exactly who needs help, who is doing a good job. And if you need more information, you can click on a student and get even more information for that specific student. So for example, where that student is struggling in the video, or what questions do you need to touch in the classroom. So I think somebody asked about reusing content, or content, or I think it was Elizabeth that was interesting, reusing content created by our teachers. The good thing is that in Edpuzzle you have more than 60,000 different lessons created by teachers, and that's a great resource for any teacher to use, because you have videos in any kind of subject, and you can already use with questions, with comments, with and you can edit that video and add your own questions if you want. So that's basically a summary of Edpuzzle. Usually the first question is it free? Yes, it is. Let me answer that immediately. Edpuzzle is free and will be free forever for teachers. We are 100% sure of this. First, because I was a teacher and I didn't have a big salary. and second is because we have many other possibilities that can give Edpuzzle a sustainable business.
Okay, I might just interject to say that we are streaming on webheadsinaction.org/live. We have a text chat on that page, and so at the moment the Hangout is full. If anybody, and somebody's got someone is not muted, and we're getting some echo effects. Anyway, we'll deal with that in a second. So anyhow, if you're in the stream and you want to come in, we can make room for you. So just tell us in the text chat that's there, and that we can interact with people there. And Elizabeth, if you're listening, maybe if you could drop one of your connections, we could make a little bit more room in the Hangout. So we're enjoying the tour on the iPad, so drop the other one. Okay, so anyway, to continue with the discussion.
The problem is that I have a problem with my computer and I couldn't get the thing back. I'll mute myself and then try and get it back.
Oh,
sorry. It's because I had a problem with the computer.
Ah, no problem. Can I just eject you there?
Yes.
Can I?
Yes. I mean, I can mute myself. Oh, yeah. Eject the computer, not the one
yes,
I'm
okay.
speaking on. The other one. Great.
Yes, I'll
Great,
do
fabulous.
That. Sure.
Okay.
Okay
wonderful.
No problem.
Okay. I'll mute myself again. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Thanks for the tour. Okay. Bye bye. So, we had questions. Danny said she wanted to ask questions. Benjamin was asking one.
I noticed that there's a way to add a project. Could you talk a little bit about how you add projects to classes and how that works as far as what the student sees and the overall purpose, how that works?
That's an excellent question. We only build, it's very important to understand that in Edpuzzle we only build what teachers need. That's the first rule that we have, and so if you write an email to Edpuzzle you will receive an immediate response because the whole team is ready to listen to teachers. And one of the reasons I'm saying this is because we created the student project based on the information we received from teachers, and they were saying, I don't want to create the videos. I want my students to create the videos for me. And we said, well, yeah, that's actually a really interesting idea. And so we decided to build a student project to give the tools to the students. So basically the teacher creates a project that you explain the subject, you explain the instructions for the students and the goals of that video. So let's say I want a video about simple addition, and I want my students to write about find a video, a 2-minute video with, and then embed 3 questions and an audio note. When I send this project or I assign this project to my class, the students will automatically receive all the editing tools from Edpuzzle, and they will be able to find any video from YouTube, Khan Academy, LearnZillion. So the same sources, same channels that any teacher will have. And then select the video they want to use. They will be able to trim, record their voice, or embed questions. And the teacher will automatically receive all the creations from their students. And this is 100% private, and you can provide feedback to the students if the video is fine, if it needs to improve. And the good thing is that you can save any video created from your students. So if you find a video that is excellent and you want to assign it to the whole class, you can save that video into your content and assign it to the rest of the class. And obviously, all the content created by your students will be 100% private, because anything created by students has to be private.
I'd like to say that the reason Kim is here is because he responds to emails so quickly. When I signed up, he sends out, if you sign up for Edpuzzle, you get an email from Kim. And it just says, it sounds like he really wants to chat with people. So I wrote him right back. I said, well, I heard, I got that point. Let's come on and tell us at Learning Together about this. And so he agreed, and here he is. So that's a really good response. So, okay, any other questions?
Yes, Kim, I've heard about Zaption, which is another video assessment tool, as it said, and I've heard that it's quite similar to this. Have you ever come across this one? Is this similar, or maybe you haven't heard about it?
Yes, I've heard actually they are in San Francisco too, and I met with them a couple of times. So the difference with Zaption is we try to keep it very, very simple. So Zaption, it has more features. Maybe some of them are not that useful, and we focus on simplicity, not only in editing the video, but also on the analytics that you receive. So I would say the easy to use, if you want to get started, Edpuzzle, it offers you all the tools that you need and all the information that you have to need. And besides, we are 100% free, while Zaption charges teachers if they want to use their videos in the classroom and get the analytics.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that Zaption gives you the possibility of editing many videos, but just one addition to one video, or the introduction of only one video to a project. That's it, I guess, and maybe that's one of the differences. Mm-hmm. So you can embed several videos into one project, Tim?
You can assign many videos to one class, and that would be almost the same.
Right, but I mean, if you want to edit an original video, can mm-hmm. you embed different chunks of videos into the same project?
We don't enable that right now because we are trying to encourage collaboration between teachers, and the fact that you merge different videos in just one video would complicate that. So we believe that it will be easier to share more than one video with your class, and they will watch several videos as an assignment.
But you can create maybe what you want in Movie Maker and assign that as the one video. Would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, another difference is that in Edpuzzle we enable teachers to upload their own videos. So while Zaption only enables to upload to YouTube, I think. And if you don't have a YouTube account or YouTube is blocked in your school, that wouldn't be possible. So you can upload as many videos as you want to our platform. And if you use an editing software like iMovie or Windows Video Maker, I don't know what's the name, you can merge the different videos there and then upload them to Edpuzzle.
Well, I think I've read it. I'm sorry, I don't want to be advertising Zaption. I have nothing to do with Zaption, but I just want to see the differences. And I've read that Zaption accepts videos from YouTube, from National Geographic, and Vimeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we offer the same sources, Vimeo, TeacherTube, upload your own videos, and we use videos from other teachers, too.
Thank you, Kim.
My pleasure.
Could I just
if you want to try Zaption, feel free to use it. And if you finally decide to use them, let us know when, why, so that we can improve too.
I will. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Could I just ask a question? I'm really not hung up on copyright usually, but I'm very surprised that you're saying you can take these videos from YouTube and edit them. Surely, surely that creates copyright problems, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. Actually, when I say that you take videos from YouTube, it's not actually a good definition. You don't take them, so the video on YouTube stays exactly the same. Actually, we use the APIs from YouTube. You are not modifying the original video. You are just putting layers on top of the video. So when you crop the video, actually what you're seeing is when the video has to start and when it has to finish. When you record your voice, you are actually recording your voice in a different service, and we're just trying to coordinate the video and the audio. When you embed the questions, it's another layer. So there are different layers on top of this video, and you're not modifying the original video. In fact, the more people watch the video on Edpuzzle, the more views that video will have on YouTube. And so if somebody's making money out of it, they will receive more money.
Thanks a lot. That's yes.
And I suppose, Kim, if the video gets removed from YouTube,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay.
It's no longer available in Edpuzzle, correct?
Yeah, actually, Daniela now is saying that you should download it and upload it to Edpuzzle. That's a possibility. Actually, the best solution would be to if you are confident that that video won't be. So if you know a channel on YouTube and you're confident that they won't take down any video, that's actually the best solution. So for example, Khan Academy or LearnZillion, that we offer those channels in our platform, usually never take down any video. If you upload the videos to Edpuzzle and somebody copies your videos, those videos will create automatically two copies. In case you take your video down, the persons that are using it will still be able to use your content.
Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question? This is Daniela, Danny.
Absolutely. One second. And then I just read that if there is a limited amount of space, no, there isn't.
There isn't, yeah. I usually download videos from YouTube using KeepVid, and some of the videos are 45 minutes long, and Edpuzzle just accepts everything, so it's really cool. Anyway, I have a question. I mean, I had a lot of other questions, but fortunately Elizabeth and Ben have asked those questions for me, and I have the answer, so I'm very happy. I have one question that I'm not sure if you already answered that question. Because I had to leave for 2 minutes, so I'm going to ask it again in case someone else asked it. When you upload a video, I heard that when you were talking to Elizabeth that you cannot upload different videos, so chunks of videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can do. But if you have one video, can you, for example, choose to only use the first 3 minutes and then the last 6 minutes?
Right now, you can't do it.
Okay.
But we are considering on including that feature in the new feature.
Okay. That would be nice.
You could take that video into Movie Maker, and you could crop
that
out the middle part, and then you'd have the first and the last part. So you could crop parts out in Movie Maker and construct your own video.
Okay, great. It's a good alternative. Why are we waiting for Kim to improve that?
Well, not me. As I said at the beginning, we have I have three amazing co-founders and now another developer in Barcelona. They are doing an amazing job, believe me. And they learned very fast.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. Another thing that I forgot to say, Dan and Vince, you are in Portugal, I think. You're using iPads. We released the iOS app a month ago, and it works on any iPad device, iPhone. And in the future, we'll build the Android app, just in case somebody's using Android. And now Ben is asking if you can download videos. We're thinking on the possibility to also enable that in to help teachers that don't or students that don't have access to internet.
And Kim, maybe I missed this. You mentioned something about comments and students making comments, but if a teacher edits a video, and is there a way that students can comment on the video?
Yeah, you actually right now you can embed questions, open-ended questions, and get the comments from your students. But I agree that maybe the students need also the possibility to embed their own questions or comments. We will focus on the student experience once we finish with the teacher experience, and we'll include other features for the students too.
I'd like to welcome Elizabeth to the Hangout, Elizabeth Hansen-Smith. It's nice, always nice to see you. How are you today?
Hi, I don't know if the microphone is on. I think it is.
It's working.
Okay, good. Too soft, too loud?
No, it's perfect.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm in the chat with Nina next door, and I'm in this one on my iPhone just so I can try it out. It does seem to work. It's a little awkward, but it does seem to work, so that's fun.
Just amazing ways of connecting. Everyone is just, especially I mentioned earlier, we're in this Electronic Village Online group that's also connecting across different devices, and we're just driving ourselves crazy with all the beeps.
Well, I'm trying to now set up my iPod to work also, so I get it all three platforms.
All right.
So I don't know. I may have to get out of this or be in it with two pictures or something.
Okay. Well, you can always come to the stream. We're streaming on webheadsinaction.org/live, and there's a text chat at the bottom of that. So if anybody wants to move over there, you can do that. I'm watching the text chat here. There's nobody chatting in it at the moment, but last week we had quite a lot of people in that chat, so that's a good way to interact with us if you can't get into the Hangout or if you just want to pop out and
I noticed with the iPhone you can't see the text chat while you're doing the audio part, so you have to kind of flip back and forth on that. But it's, you know, when are we going to get a split screen on the iPod? That's what I want to know.
Maybe you need two devices on the same iPod. You have one that's got the screen, you know, or different screens, and you could connect back and forth with Bluetooth or something like that.
It's called Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, sorry. You could. Anyway, I'm just imagining the future. Let's get back to Kim.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said, yes, there is one already, and I didn't know about it.
Just imagining. Maybe Kim can design us one.
Yeah, that would work. That would work for me. Alfonso, are you right about what? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, they're responding in this other chat. There's a chat associated. I think they're talking on a chat with the EVO session. If you want to chat here, a good place to go would be webheadsinaction.org/live. And we also have, there's always a chat associated with the events. If you could find that, we'd also see it. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Vance, you know, if you go to the Hangouts, there's a chat associated with this call directly.
Yes.
I just looked at that. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Well, we're learning a lot about Google Plus doing this. Okay, does anybody else have questions for Kim? I have one if no one else has any. Are you talking to us, Maha?
Yes, okay, sorry. I had two buttons off. I had a couple of questions. One is about adding more than or inserting more than one item or in any particular point of the video. Like, for example, if I want to have questions but also have a link or a comment, a voice comment and a link. The other question was about whether I can embed the whole thing in a course site.
Yes. So the first question is, can you add more than one item to a specific moment, or do you mean in different parts of the video?
Yes. Yes.
So you can do both. That's easy. The easy answer. You can add as many audio notes as you want, and in a specific moment, you can add an audio note, and you can embed another question. And that's a perfect combination for language teachers because you can even read the question and the students will listen to the question while they're answering it. You can add more than one question or comment at a specific point. When you add if you play with that puzzle, you will see that when you embed a question, you have a button that says add next item. And this means that basically you can add another question or comment with links or comment with photos or whatever you want next to the question. You can add as many questions as you want. So, for example, we have teachers that at the end of the video, instead of doing a Google form, they add all the questions there so that the students have just one place to answer everything and watch the video. And the second question, it was about embedding the video. You can create, so as I said before, you create the video, you assign the video to a class, and once you create this assignment, you can embed the assignment into any platform. So Google Classroom, Edmodo, Schoology, Webly, Blackboard, Canvas, Moodle, I don't know. Wherever you can embed a YouTube video, you can embed an Edpuzzle lesson. Once you embed that assignment, it's important to understand that you will receive all the information from your students. So if the students watch the video in your Edmodo account, you will receive who watched the video, the answers to the questions, and you will have all the information in Edpuzzle. But as Benjamin is saying, you can't embed the whole class. yeah, exactly. That's completely right. He wanted to embed the whole class just to have one place to receive all the assignments. You have to embed each one of the assignments right now.
Kim?
Yes.
Danny here again. Do you know, is there any reason why I can't embed Edpuzzle videos in my Google Sites webpage?
Yes, you can. Actually, I have also a Google Sites that I will share with you where I explain how to use Edpuzzle in different ways. I think that you have to click the HTML button and then embed there the video, and you will see that it appears.
Yeah, that's right.
Which code do you use? Do you use the iframe or the URL?
I usually use the iframe. And as I said, there are two different kinds of. So you have to understand that you have to assign the video to a class in order to get the analytics. If you don't do that, if you want just to embed the video, people will be able to answer the questions and have a normal experience with Edpuzzle. But you won't receive the analytics. So there is a difference between embedding just the video or embedding the assignment.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Benjamin is asking if you could screen share and show what you're doing. You can. Are you familiar with the screen share tool, the little white arrow in the green background? Over if you go to the right, left side of the screen, you can go to the left side of the screen, and then there's some tools there. One of them is screen share.
Yeah, let me share. Mm-hmm. You'll see my email, but no problem. So you want to embed, what do you want to see there? How to embed a video? Okay.
Yes, please.
So here, for example, this is my homepage. I have two assignments. If I go to my content, here I will see all the videos that I created. Something I forgot to say that I think is very important is once you start using Edpuzzle at the beginning, it's easy to get excited and get too many videos. So you can also create folders. And these are very cool features. So for example, I will create a folder that's Math 101. This will get addition and subtraction. Perfect. And I can give a description. And once I have this folder, I can select different videos and move them to the folder. And I will start organizing all my videos by folders, which it's a better solution for teachers to have everything more controlled. So here I have my videos. And as I said before, you have to select the video and assign it to a class. I will assign it to Math 101. I will prevent skipping. This is also a very cool feature. So prevent skipping. It's a configuration that you can select or unselect. It's basically you are telling your students that they have to watch the whole video. And if they open their Facebook account or Twitter account while they're watching the video stops and doesn't play until they get back. Also, we have now the due date. The due date is you're basically telling the students when they have to start a video and when does it finish. So for example, I would say the 6th. And I can say that they have to finish before midnight. I save the assignment. And here I have, as you can see, I'm now in my classes. I have my different assignments. So I assign these three, a project and two videos to this class. Nobody has completed this assignment. So I'm going to embed it here. On your right, you have the different actions. You can watch it as a student. You can delete the assignment, or you can embed the assignment. And here you have the progress to check the analytics that I was talking before. So I click here, and I have different sizes. I have the URL. I can share it on Facebook, Twitter, or via email. But right now I'm going to embed it. I'm going to copy this with Command-C. I'm going to go to my Google site, for example, just to help Danny. I'm going to go to this one, for example.
Okay, thank you.
In this one, there's nothing. And here on the top, usually you have some editing tools for your... this is Google Sites, but I'm sure that if you're using Edmodo or any other platform, they have similar experience. And here you can see that you have the HTML button in different platforms. You have maybe something that says source or embed or the same sign that we have here in Edpuzzle that's like a code button. So right now I'm going to click the HTML. As you can see, I have nothing here. Just paste the code that I copied before. And when I save, this is how it looks. As you can see, this is how it would look for the students. So they will get here. They will have to log in using their Edpuzzle account, Google account, or Edmodo account. Or if they don't have an account, just sign up. And if I sign up as a student, I'm going to create a student account. Chat student. I give a password. Oh, something I forgot to say. The email is optional for the students, so if they don't have an account, there is no big deal. I'm going to create it. As you can see, I can start watching this video.
Shut up.
I don't know if you can listen to it. It's an amazing video. I can try to skip. That's what I was talking about. I can open another tab, and the video stops. And I can go back, and it continues. I don't know. It's let me answer one question, and I will show you how it looks in the analytics.
Right, because when I tried first key, it said it wouldn't allow me to answer the questions. In that.
Sorry. What?
Sorry for interrupting, Key.
I didn't hear the question.
I was just saying that I tried to embed mine in Google Sites, and then it says this format or something it doesn't allow you to answer questions. Not the puzzle. The video is not working as assignment or something. But I had already chosen to have it work as an assignment. So maybe I did something wrong. I have to try your way because I've seen you've done something different. So, and I'm writing down all of my notes here. Can you try one of the questions then, so that I can see how it works then?
Yeah, I'm gonna repeat the process. Let me start again. So basically, I was home. This is my homepage. I go to my content. Yeah. I select a video, and I assign it to a class.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you go to my classes, and you have the assignment here. You have to copy, click here on the right, the embed button.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And select this code.
The iframe.
Yes. It is important to point out that this assignment is for the math class. So any person that registers to, as I did in this video, sorry, let me close this, in this video, will automatically appear here. So for example, here we have the chat student that we created. And if I click here, if I continue watching the video, I mean, if you haven't checked Soul Pancake, it's an amazing resource of videos for your students on YouTube. What is gratitude? Well, I'm gonna blah blah blah, commit blah blah blah. Now let me show you how it looks. Oh yeah, sorry. Now I'm the student account. Let me log in. The teacher. Let me check the progress. Here I have the chat student. And as you can see, I watched the first part of the video. What is gratitude? I can consider this is correct. This is wrong. And I can add the comment here. Pay more attention next time. I forgot to add. And that's basically how Edpuzzle is used. We try to keep it, as you can see, very, very simple. I wanted to show you also the analytics. So this is how it looks. As I was saying, we try to keep it very simple, but at the same time, very powerful. So you can easily see who needs help, who is doing a good job, and maybe if you click on a specific student, you can see how many times they watch parts of the video so that you can immediately know what you have to explain, and you also have, you can add comments as I did before to a student, you can jump from one student to the other and see how many times they watch the video. And for the project, this is how it looks. So you receive the creations from your students privately, and you can provide feedback and even grade their lessons. And as I was saying, you can save also this video into your account. And yeah, this is it.
So, Kim, do students need to create an account to post or either view the content or to post the comments?
Yes, they have to create an account. And as I was saying, they can use Google Plus, they can use, or if your school uses Google Apps, they can use your school account. They can use Edmodo, or they can create an account in Edpuzzle, which we take basically three things: a first name, a username, and a password, and the email is completely optional.
Can I ask you a question? You have to answer. The teacher has to correct the student's responses. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, good. Okay. Now I was frightened there was going to be a sort of a machine correction where the wrong word made the whole thing wrong, etc. No, the teacher corrects the responses.
Yes.
Can we see how the teacher receives the responses?
Absolutely. So let me. I think I can. Let me 1 second share again the screen. Here. Sure. So basically here you have the analytics, the progress of your class. And if you see here, you can grade the open questions. Right now I have everything graded. But it would look something like this. You have one question and then all the responses from your students, and you can just click, and as you can see, and I can say it's wrong, it's right, this is wrong, right, wrong, 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 right. You can see it's very easy and quickly to grade, and then you can hide it.
Isn't that multiple choice questions you're collecting there?
Sorry, I can hear you now.
Sorry, isn't that multiple choice questions? I was concerned with the open questions.
Dwayne's man! Ah, what's up, Dwayne?
Sorry?
Hello, man, what's up? That's just rude, man! Why you got to do me like that, Vance?
Who's doing this?
I'm Mike Williams, man!
Can you help Michael Phelps?
Michael Phelps, yeah, man!
Right. Okay, that's fine. My question was, surely that was the multiple choice questions you were showing us. My concern
That was the open-ended questions.
But we couldn't see any of the students writing.
Oh, you want to see the students writing? Yeah, let me share it, how it looks for the students.
Dwayne, man, now you're trying to disrespect me, man! I can't believe this, man!
Thanks, Vance.
Oh, my God.
Never had this problem before. I don't...
Yeah.
Somebody took too much coffee this morning.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back.
Yeah, I'll watch for him and I'll catch him when he comes. You guys carry on.
So here I'm in my classes. You can always check. Let me 1 second. Let me take away the prevent skipping so that we can jump directly to the question. I can view as a student.
Williams, man, learn some English, man!
It's okay, you just carry on.
Williams, man!
So you can go directly to the question. So this is how it looks for the students. It's very clean. What is gratitude? I can write here.
You can blah, blah, blah again.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Submit the question. As you can see, always we give the possibility to the student to rewatch parts of the video.
Right.
So for example, if I'm answering this part of the video, blah, 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 two, blah, blah. Blah. So, and if I wanted to rewatch, I would go to the previous question so that I just have to watch that part of the video. So if now I see that I try to watch the progress, here I have another student that's me, the teacher, and I can verify what happened. So as you can see, I just watched, as I skipped the video, I just watched this part here. This is not counted as watch because I just skipped it. And now again, I can grade the open questions here.
Great.
And it's simple as saying it's right, wrong, right, wrong.
Okay, great. Mm. Good stuff. Thanks.
Welcome.
Well, my question is about your developers. Mm-hmm. Introduce briefly who they are and say a little something about how long this project has been in operation. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. So we have four developers. Three of them are co-founders, and one we hired him this summer. So their names are Santi, Xavi, Jordi, and Fran. I'm sure that if you emailed us, you will receive an answer from one of them too. And we are friends since kindergarten, so we know each other for a long time. We started the project of Edpuzzle a year ago now, but we started collaborating with different projects for my class while I was in the classroom. So we always say that we were a team before starting Edpuzzle.
Yeah, and when did you start it?
We started a year ago.
Uh-huh. That's excellent. Where did you get the? I mean, you were a teacher, so you were trying to develop something that would fit your needs. Is that? Mm-hmm.
That's true. So we started building something that would be useful for me. So basically, it was more about the being able to record your voice on top of videos. Just to translate content, and then the analytics to make sure that my students were watching the video. But then we, as I said at the beginning, we only build what teachers need, so any suggestion that you may have, email us, please, because through those questions or comments that we received, we started to build the different features that teachers were asking, so the ability to trim the video, the audio notes, the questions, and then the projects, the folders, then the project, the iOS app, and the more. Now you will see more improvements in the future that also are only improvements that we build because teachers have asked them.
Okay, I want to get a question to Danny. Anybody here, could you stay in the Hangout at least for 5 minutes longer? We've managed to crowd out the crasher by putting an extra person in here. So anyway, so as long as we keep 10 in here, so if you could just stay there for, just another 5 minutes, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I think we're probably going to draw it to a close anyway, but I always ask if. And Rita, sorry, I had to mute you because of the echo slightly. So if you need to talk, just pop it back in. Danny, you can go. Just mute your mic and get up and leave the computer, and I'll eject you at the end of the session if you want. So we just need you to hold the place. That's all.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Now, okay.
Yeah. I will leave my email just in case you want to email me.
Sure.
Again, any question, suggestion, idea that you come, it's my grandma used to say that two brains think more than one. So if we have more teachers and they all think with us, it's always helpful. And I always will share. We have a Google Sites. We also have a YouTube channel. Let me see here. These are Google Sites. YouTube channel.
I have a comment.
Yeah, sure.
If I may. I'm part of a TESOL online certificate program, actually, and there's about 10 or 12 of us in the final course, and so I'm going to share this with others who are building online courses right now. Mm-hmm. Or getting ready to, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest, and It's a great tool, and just thank you so much, you and all your colleagues.
And again, let me share another thing with you. If you're going to share with our teachers, here, have another. I'm going to share with you a Dropbox file that has different sources, so not only videos, but also PDF presentations and different things that if you want, feel free to use it. It's available for any teacher.
Okay, I'll make sure and copy those out to the I'll preserve those. I'll copy those before I close the Hangout. Okay. Any more comments? I'm kind of feeling I need to move on. Does anybody have any questions they didn't get answered and want to ask at the? Because there were a lot of questions in the text chat.
Let me scroll and see if I forgot something. Somebody's talking.
Yeah, Maha, speak up or do something with the mic.
I have a quick question. I think I know part of the answer, but I was wondering if there was a workaround. In Second Life, for example, one of the problems of showing videos is that everybody will be on a different part of the video. We don't see the same thing at the same second or moment. It depends on when they start and when they stop and so on. So, but also, some people from different countries in cannot see YouTube unless they use a special program or software to bypass proxies and so on. So, I was wondering if the same will continue happening to with the people who cannot see the YouTube videos if they're from your site or from
If YouTube is blocked, Edpuzzle will be blocked. However, we offer three solutions. Actually, so first you can flip the classroom. That basically you assign the video to watch at home, and if the video is not blocked at their homes, hopefully, and they will be able to watch it there. And the second solution would be to upload the videos to Edpuzzle. If it's uploaded to Edpuzzle, those videos won't be blocked, so you will be able to see them. The third solution would be to use TeacherTube or Vimeo. As you can see, we offer also these sources for this kind of schools. But I think the fourth solution is the well, it depends on the context, but it's always important to talk to the school and see if they can unblock YouTube to use it. If you give a good reason, we have seen that many teachers have. We also provide them in the Dropbox account. I shared with you some documents that you can share with the IT department, and it's usually the best way to start a conversation with the IT department to explain why you want to use YouTube. And about learning at the same pace, it's true, but I think it's also interesting to give this kind of freedom to the students. If they can learn at different speeds, some students need to rewatch the same part of the video a couple of three times, while others have to watch it just once. That's why I strongly recommend the flipped classroom model, and so that the students can watch the video at home as many times as they want, and the teacher has more time to do more meaningful activities in the classroom. I can't hear you.
One more question occurred to me because of something that you mentioned now. You mentioned schools a couple of times. As I said at the beginning, I'm not a teacher originally. Yeah. No, but I wanted to know because if it's free for teachers, I can respect that, of course, that for corporate training, I cannot use it for free. But how do I use it for free if I'm using it for non for NGOs or for you know, like to help students who are underprivileged, who cannot actually afford to.
No. There's no problem. So I was just saying about charging corporations or schools or districts or, I don't know, other organizations, because that's some of the possibilities that we have in the future. We haven't figured out yet. We're being used in different organizations. For example, the UN is using Edpuzzle to train teachers across the world about languages or translation. So you can use it for free, and we are happy to have you in our team. Really.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Actually, it's a great addition to the educational tools.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. Thanks.
And we will keep improving, believe me.
Yes, I'd just like to say thank you very much. That was absolutely fabulous. Certainly, we'll be going to look at it, if not straight away because of this ongoing online course, certainly in the near future. Thanks. Perfect. Thanks loads. It's really great.
You're welcome. Thanks for the kind words, really.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you very much, too. This is Kim Sabria on Learning Together, November 2nd, 2014. And he's just introduced us to a really nice piece of software he and his team have produced called Edpuzzle. Edpuzzle.com, I believe, is the address. And well, we wish you success, and obviously you're working with us as teachers. So another thing I might mention, too, is I think in our situation, our school, YouTube is blocked, and we were able to get some videos online for the students because they're watching videos and describing what they see, and we put them up into Edpuzzle, and they play just fine, and the embeds work great. So, and I also wanted to ask on that note, we're having bandwidth problems where we are as well, but the Edpuzzle videos are playing just like that. Why is that?
Well, it depends. So you're saying that YouTube is blocked in your school, but
yeah, if we, even if it's not blocked, like if we use HTTPS, for example, and it comes in very slow. We're having sometimes when the internet is really slow, we can't do things we normally do. We embed a video. Let's say I put a video online in a space that I have and play the MP4 through an HTML site. The video often doesn't play. But if I embed the Edpuzzle of the same video, it plays just fine. Why do you think that is?
Probably it's because we have our own transcoding system. As I said before, I have an amazing team. And they are the technicians, and they know exactly what's happened. They made the magic. So we have also internally an idea of building something magical for the teachers. And this is the kind of magic that happens in our servers. So you... basically, when you upload an MP4 to Edpuzzle, we have a transcoding system, so we have different sources. And when you use Edpuzzle in your school, we make sure that you receive the video that works in your platform so that it's as flexible as possible.
Okay. Well, anyway, it works really well. I mean, if I embed that the Edpuzzle video in my lessons, the video plays. And if I upload, if I put the MP3 up there and try to play that, it often doesn't have the bandwidth for it. So that's really nice. Okay. I think we're about ready to go. Apologies for the screamer who dropped in on us. This never happened to us before, and it's always interesting when it happens the first time. It makes really great stories to tell. So
everyone is welcome, really.
Yeah, even the screamer. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I guess we'll sign off. And Kim has a meeting in 45 minutes, and I have something that's going on right now I'm going to pop into. So thanks a lot. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Yeah. Please email me if you have more questions or suggestions, really. Perfect. Yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
See you.
And I'll pop Danny out. Oh, and she's the last one. Okay, I better stop the broadcast. Okay, bye, everybody. Great you could join us. And screamer, come back. It's color, you know. behave yourself next time. Bye-bye.